Okay, John, are you there?
I'm here.
Perfect. All right, so let's begin. And just so you know, everything is going to be kept private and confidential. Only purpose of this call is being recorded is for my training purposes and also for other coaches that are looking to become credentialed. So with that, thank you for giving me this permission to be a volunteer client of mine. And so I'm aware of your career options that you sent me. And can you tell me a little bit about where you're at with those career options?
Well, for the last 5 years, I've been really running this consulting practice. And about a year ago, I backed off marketing that because I wasn't sure that it was what I wanted to do. I actually spent some time learning how to trade stocks over the last year or so. So that's what I was doing over the last year. But I'm really still in a position that I have been for a while now, and that is not really knowing that the management consulting that I'm doing is what I really want to be doing, and really struggling to identify what I should do with the rest of my business career at this point. I'm certainly probably would find it hard to go back into the job market at this point, both from the point of view that I've been out of corporate positions since 2005, so that's almost 8 years, and my age doesn't help. So, being the age that I am, people are not as willing to hire you. So those things are not options. And even with that, I'm not even sure what kind of job I would want to go after at this point anyway. So part of what I'm trying to do is, people always say do what your passion is, and I'm trying to figure out what my passion is and how that then translates into something that I can, do for a living. The list that I sent you of the three or four things was basically things that are directly in front of me right now, not necessarily things that I'm passionate about doing at this point. It's more, those are things that I have either to continue my business or potentially go down some other paths, things that I've thought about. And I'm here to see if any of those are really a fit with what my passion is, or if I need to really move off in a different direction.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that there's this question about whether you want to remain in this your current field of consulting and management, and then two, you're wondering if you want to go back to corporate and get a job there. Well, what kind of job would that be, anyways? You're not sure about that, and then also the other piece of this is your passion. And if these jobs that you're, these four choices or options, whether they would fit your passion. But I also heard you say that there was some confusion about what your passion is.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest issue. I mean, I think if I was more in touch with what I was passionate about in terms of the work side of my life, then it would be a lot easier to look at the different options and say, which one of these is the best option, and does it really, does it tick the boxes for me personally? And that's really where I keep going back and saying, what is my passion from a business point of view? And I find it hard to come up with a good answer. So that's why I'm hoping that you can help lead me through to a certain extent, is helping me identify, things that I know that I'm not really acknowledging, I think is the issue. Because I'm sure I know it's just that I don't know how to get to it.
Okay. All right. So let's make that as our focus then. Sounds like you're wanting
Okay.
to focus on passion first. So before we even go into those career options, let's do that. Well, first, before, I mean, let's just hypothetically talk about this for a moment. If let's say you knew what your passion was, you know, regardless, sometimes we don't really necessarily know what our passion is in order to know what would satisfy us. So I'm curious to know what would be a gain, or what would you think you would get as a result of knowing your passion?
Clarity on what I should be doing next, rather than just continuing to do the things that I've been doing. Hopefully, a feeling. Getting rid of a feeling that I have very often of being stuck in a cage and not knowing the way out. I feel as though I'm, to a certain extent, stuck in one place and not moving forward. And that's, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, and it's tough to it's tough to get up the energy to actually work on things that I need to be working on as part of what I am doing, when I just feel this frustration about being stuck in this place that I'm in. And so I'm looking for the, I suppose the analogy of being stuck in a cage is I'm looking for the passion to be the key that allows me to open the door and see where I need to go to and what the path is to get there. So it's sort of like the ruby slippers putting me on the yellow brick road. So that's I know that's a silly analogy,
No, I think that's a great
that's yeah. But that's and maybe I'm being unrealistic in terms of what that can do for me. But that's what I feel at this point is that if I can understand that piece, then I can be a little bit more. That piece being the passion, I can be a bit, little bit more logical and analytical about what does that mean in terms of what steps do I need to take next.
Got it.
Because I mean, if it turns out that I really need to be in the business that I'm in, and that's really what I need to do, then I need to think about what that means in terms of reshaping that business and trying to make it more successful than it's been.
Yeah, that sounds like a really, to me, that sounds logical and it sounds reasonable. I don't see it as being too far out, honestly.
Okay.
I think that, you know, yes, it's gonna first stem from how you feel about it. So there is really no wrong answer here. If this is how you feel, what you're gonna get from it, then this is your answer. You know, this is yours. And if you kind of like you, just like using your analogy, of being stuck in a cage, and then knowing your passion is like a key that's gonna open that door for you. And you may not necessarily know what I'm hinting here, sensing here from you, is that you may not really know what's behind door number three, but you have a sense. Excuse me, sorry. Give me 1 second. So sorry, John. Looks like I accidentally
It's
hit
okay.
the end button. But let's just resume anyways. It looks like it kept the recording on.
Okay.
had a FedEx delivery person stop by. Anyways, so what I was going to say is that it's like you don't really know exactly what's going to be behind that door, right? It's just kind of like...
I have no idea, really.
No. But you're laughing, so I would sense that also the way you're being about it is that, you know, it's good. It's a positive thing. Like, you look forward to it because you want to understand more about, you know, what would make you satisfied, right? Knowing your passion.
It is a positive thing. I mean,
yeah.
I think definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, being able to understand that, and to a certain extent, I'm very jealous of people who understand what their passion is and are moving towards it and working on it on a day by day basis. And it's like, wow, it would be great to feel that way, no matter what it is, you know, no matter what that thing is that I'm working towards. It'd be great to have that feeling again. I suppose, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that you and I haven't sort of discussed about this is that early in my career, I started out in the computer industry. I started out as a computer operator, hanging tapes, changing disk drives, and feeding punch cards into machines. That dates me, right? But I made a decision fairly early on after being in that field for about 3 or 4 years, and I set myself a goal. I set myself a goal to be in a position where I would be, you know, what today is called a chief information officer, somebody who runs the whole IT department for a corporation. Well, I achieved that goal in 2001. That was my last corporate job. I had that for a little over 4 years. And part of the issue is that I think is I never set myself a goal after that. Here I am, 10, 12 years later, just thinking about, or actually taking the action to do something about, okay, let's really understand what you want to do here and why do you want to do it. You know, so that feeds into this whole thing too, is the fact that I probably have not spent the time that I need to spend to really think this through. I've just sort of drifted along using my skills and taking the opportunities that presented themselves to me, which I don't want to do anymore.
Well, you are here today, and now you're working on it. So I, you know, honor you for that. And and the opportunity has presented itself, but it's in a different way now. Now you get to take the time to, you know, find that. Go back to, you know, soul searching or whatever people want to call it, but it's more about, you know, well, it's time. Now you want to see, you know, what that is. So can you tell me, has there been ever in a time in your life where you felt passionate about something?
Well, I mean, there are probably lots of them. But the things that immediately pop into my mind are, what I would call personal related things. I mean, you know, there's the growing up, you know, passionate about the sports team that you follow. There's the passion that comes with meeting the woman of your dreams for the first time and that initial period, which, you know, was quite a while ago at this point. There are those kinds of things. I think never anything big. I mean, there are little things that I think about where I think about the fact that I like solving problems, and it was always very, I don't know whether passion is the right word, but it was always very thrilling to be able to really work through a thorny problem when I was in the computer field and really isolate what the problem was. And to be able to do it in a way that, this is probably not going to mean anything to you, but I used to work on software that was created by IBM. And I actually isolated problems with their software and reported it back to them, whereas most people would figure they had a problem and report it to IBM, and IBM would isolate it. But I'd actually isolate the problem in the code and go back to them and say, okay, this is where the problem is. And that kind of that problem solving has always been something that I've gotten, you know, a big kick out of. And I think it's just, you know, it's being able to solve the puzzle. I mean, everybody loves to be able to solve puzzles. And I just think I'm maybe a little bit more like that a little bit more. I mean, one of the things that I do even today is I do a lot of crossword puzzles. I do the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle in ink, not in pencil. So, and, you know, like this last Sunday's puzzle, I started it last night and got probably about three quarters of the way through in about 20 minutes. So, you know, it's that kind of, that's my logical brain thinking, you know, in terms of how to solve things and how to put things together. So that I enjoy.
That sounds like that's something that we could explore. It sounds like something to explore further. I appreciate you sharing that. It sounds to me like also, was this the time where you did feel you found passionate about what you were doing, like when you were a CIO? I mean, when you were doing this, you solved problems.
I mean, I think what I enjoyed about my last corporate job up until the last year was horrible. But what I enjoyed about it was the feeling of being able to make a difference in what we were doing. You know, because, you know, I wasn't so far down just a small cog in the wheel anymore, you know, as one of 15 executives in the organization. So I felt like I had some leverage on in terms of, you know, what success was going to be. I enjoyed, and I do, and it's one of the things that I realized that I miss in terms of the way my current business is organized. I don't have a large team of people that I interact with on a regular basis. A lot of my consulting is very much one-on-one with, you know, with the CEO or the founder of a company, and there's not a lot of group interaction. And I realized that that's one of the things that I think that I miss is that broader group interaction. I think we're both members of CEO space, and I think that's one of the things that I enjoy about, you know, when I'm there, is that interaction with that broader group of people and different people. So, you know, I think that's maybe one of the reasons why, you know, the analogy of the cage is, like, you know, that what I'm doing right now has sort of got me in a little bit of a cage, because I don't, you know, I do sit here and I do Skype with a lot of people and I do a lot of things from this desk, but I'm not out, and necessarily if I'm not visiting with a client, I'm not out and about and I'm not interacting with a lot of people. See, it's actually easier for me to think about things that I don't like than things that I do like. So,
I picked up on some things based on what you shared with me. Can I just share with you, give you feedback on what you do like? One, you made it very clear that you like solving problems, and, you know, you have a logical brain, and you really love solving puzzles. So you like to use that part of your brain to logically work through a problem and find the solution there. And then I also heard you say that you in your last corporate job. You had a feeling of being able to make a difference. So it sounds to me like that's also an important trait to have in a career. And then number three is group interaction. You like to be out and about, which is why I like being in CEO spaces, because you're personal. You know, you have that. Is it connection? Is it the connection, or is it the action? You know, that gives you.
I think it's the action. I think it's the variety. I think some of it is the, you know, what I mean, I would, to tell you the truth, I'd be very happy if I could sit around in the lobby of the hotel and talk to different people about their businesses, about what they're doing and what their problems are, and think and talk to them about ways they might deal with those problems. And if I could do that, I would, for at least all the time that I'm at CEO Space, but maybe for longer than that, I would actually probably be very happy doing that, because I would, you know, I would feel as though I was, I would feel as though I was helping those people, but I would be doing it in a setting where there's a much greater variety of issues and problems to deal with, you know, and people to deal with.
Okay. So can you hear yourself? Do you think that these are some clues and hints to look at as far as when you're talking about you really don't know what your passion is, but I think differently. I'm seeing something different here. What do you see? Just based on everything
well,
you've
I suppose I look at that and I'm like, these are these are things that I enjoy, that I enjoy the feeling of, but they're not necessarily, I don't think they rise to the level of being passionate about some business or some goal. I mean, you know, the one client that I'm working with right now, who I think you know, you know, is very passionate.
John, I lost you. I'm here.
You know,
there we go.
Back. I can hear you. No?
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Hang on one second. Can you hear me?
Yes. It came back, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Okay.
So where did I lose you? Or where did you lose me?
You were referring to your client being passionate.
Well, he has this passion about what his business is and what the goal of his business is, and it's something that, you know, when you talk to him about it, he's been working on this since he was a kid. You know, he looks at this as being something that he's always wanted to do. That to me is a passion. You know.
So you think having a goal in mind is part of passion?
Well, I think he's translated it into a goal in mind. You know, I think he's taken something that he's very passionate about and created a goal around it.
Okay. Well, what do you know about? What do you know about purpose and meaning? Like, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I know what the words mean. You know, if you were to look them up in the dictionary,
I'd like your definition. If you can describe to me your definition.
Well, I think in terms of meaning, I think that. You know, if we keep it in the realm of, you know, the business world that we're talking about right now, you know, meaning is something that has a tangible, you know, positive effect on someone or something. I mean, it's obviously very. I mean, it's a very broad definition, but for something to be meaningful, I think that for something that you're doing to be meaningful, I think it has to have that positive effect on the person that you're doing it for, or the thing that you're doing it for, and purpose. In that respect, would be, you know, to me is the it's hard to explain, but the purpose is why you do what you do. So, you know, it's very similar to meaning. I mean, you know, I think meaning can be more tangible in terms of what the result is, but purpose is kind of, you know, you're doing this to create these kinds of results. That sounds weird. You would think this that a crossword puzzle guy would do better than that, but
Are you doing great?
You need me to go on?
I don't know. If you have more to say.
Oh, okay. No, I was done with purpose and meaning. I was just thinking about if there was anything else, but
okay. So that was interesting. I appreciate your share on that because purpose, like you were saying, is why you do what you do, but it also has it sounds to me like what you're seeing it as is it's connected with the meaning. You know, having meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Something tangible, but then purpose is why you do what you do. So tell me something. Why do you do what you do in regards to, you know, being in group settings and having action and variety?
Why do I do those things? Well, I mean, the being in the group settings, I mean, I enjoy the company of people that I, you know, like to talk to. I mean, there are lots of people that I don't enjoy their company for different reasons, but I find that, you know, I just enjoy being able to interact with other people on any level, really. I mean, it's kind of strange because I'm not normally a person who's sort of in a group who puts myself forward, and I certainly don't dominate groups. And when I'm in, you know, groups of people that I don't know, I'm sort of very reluctant to start up conversations and that. But I actually enjoy interacting and conversing with people about a wide range of topics, you know, so not necessarily things that I'm, you know, interested in and passionate about myself. But, you know, it's always interesting to hear other people, what other people are doing. I think that's why I do the group thing.
And what about in the area of solving puzzles or solving problems? Why do you do what you do there?
Because I get a buzz out of getting to the end of the problem and fixing, you know, finding out what the result is. You know, I don't like to be frustrated by, you know, not knowing what the answer is, I suppose.
Do you think it's possible solving a problem that leads to something bigger and greater that could be also around something you're passionate about? Like you said earlier, your client, you know, he created a goal around his passion. And what if, in your case, it looks like something like solving a problem for a greater good, you know, feeling of being able to make a difference?
Well, you know, I certainly think that if there was, you know, if there was a problem that I wanted to address, not could, because there's plenty that I could address, but I wanted to address with a level of passion that was for a greater good. I mean, that would be very satisfying. And You know, I mean, selfishly, I'm after doing something that is, you know, satisfying on a, you know, on a very personal level, because I've had many roles in different companies and things where I was not happy with the with what I was doing, you know, and it was, you know, it may have been earning good money, but it wasn't enjoyable doing it. I mean, my whole last year in my corporate job was not enjoyable. It was not enjoyable at all, and it that all started out when I had to fire 50% of my staff at the beginning of the year. It was that was a horrible year, and you know, I don't. I'd rather. You know, I've told people that there are, you know, even in the consulting business that I have now, there are certain people who have come to me and asked me to work with them or talk to me about working with them, and I'm like, you know, I've just not followed up with them or not given them a proposal because I just don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to deal with the type of person that they might be. And it has to do with not wanting to put myself back in a situation where I've got to deal with things that I don't enjoy. You know, I'd rather work with people that I enjoy working with. You know, there's a book called The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, and in it the guy talks about he's got some of his guiding principles. And one of them, and excuse my French because it's his language, not mine, is no assholes. And he's basically, he says, I don't have the time to, I don't have the desire to deal with people who are basically, you know, not easy to deal with and not pleasant to deal with. You know, I sort of have that kind of same attitude is that, you know, if you're difficult to deal with, you know, I don't want you as a client. You know, I've had enough of that.
Yeah, and I acknowledge you for putting your foot on the ground and saying no, you know, and staying true to what you really sound like to me, like you're being true in your integrity to stay true to what you feel is important for you. And not settling for less, anything less. So I appreciate that you have come to that place where you've decided that, you know, hey, turning down clients is totally fine. I do. There are people that I don't work with and I wouldn't want to work with. I pick and choose who I would like to work with. And it feels liberating. It feels good because when I do that, I know that it's not anything to do with the other person. It's just not a good fit, you know.
Right.
So, and they will find somebody. They will find another coach that is going to be the right fit for them. But it's just not for me.
Right.
And so, you know what I'm thinking. Can I give you some feedback on everything that you
Certainly.
Shared with? What I'm thinking is, you know, you've got some really great, you've got some basis, some foundation here. You know, you've already shared with me with a lot of things that you enjoy. You know, you enjoy being able to interact with others and the conversing really is enjoyable to you. And like solving a problem, you know, gets you excited and you're feeling like you're able to make a difference. You know, like even in that previous last corporate job, you pointed out that was what made it enjoyable for you. So I'm just wondering if, you know, taking these little pieces here and looking at them as a gem, you know, that you have gold here. It's just a matter of uncovering and, you know, removing some of that dirt. What I would like to know is what's getting in the way of you, I guess I don't want to really call it finding your passion, but knowing your passion.
I think if I knew that, I wouldn't be sitting here because I'd be able to deal with that. I
Well, you want to explore that a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So
I mean,
if you were to just take
if
a stab
it's some
at
kind
it.
of. Say again.
Well, if we were to just take a stab at it, let's just see. Let's look at the other side.
Okay.
So share with me what, you know, like the benefits of knowing your passion, what would that give you? So I'm curious what, well, you know what triggered me is when you were sharing about how you see some other people who have found their passion and you get a little jealous of them. You're a little jealous of others
mm-hmm.
for having their passion. Do you feel in your heart that it's okay to know your passion?
I mean, I think it's more than okay. I mean, I think it's necessary. I think that knowing
so
your passion is necessary to being able to live an enjoyable life, whatever that might be. I don't, you know, it's not about money, fame, or success, you know, as measured by society. It's about knowing that you're doing, you know, what you really want to do, and that every morning you wake up wanting to do that, and every evening you go to bed saying what a great day it was. You know,
yeah. So if you feel
that
it's necessary,
to me is.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So if you feel if it's necessary and it's important to know your passion, do you feel it is for you to know your passion?
Can you reframe the question?
Sure. Do you feel, I mean, like, you know, other people have found passion, but you haven't. Do you feel,
right.
Do you believe it's possible that you would know your passion?
Do I believe it? I think belief might be too strong a word at this point. I'm certainly exploring, how do I get closer to it, and how do I sort of unlock that, or as you were saying, you know, brush the dirt off the gem so that I can understand it. I think that I believe right now that I should know it, you know, and that's why I'm trying to do what I'm doing in terms of trying to trying to isolate it and get a better feeling for it. I think that my question is, can I actually get there? And that's why I don't necessarily believe that I should know it at this point in time, if that makes sense. You know, I'm starting off on this kind of journey and not knowing where it's going to get me and whether it's going to get me where I want to go.
Got it. So in other words, you're trying to figure out how to discover it. And number one, you're telling me that you should know it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to be straightforward with you. Is this way of thinking going to help you to find what that passion is? By you thinking that you should know it? Or even just wondering how to get it, I invite you to kind of explore this with me. Just think of this in another way. What if you didn't know how, you didn't know, you know, the how part, but if you were to, let's say, think that, you know, you should know it, where is this coming from? Like, what way of being, you know, does this sound like to you? Like, if you heard me say that, you know, I should be knowing this. What kind of adjectives would describe the way I'm being?
I think for me it's I don't know I don't know how to answer the question actually, but I suppose I've heard enough people talk about, you know, working towards and working in your passion that I feel as though it's everybody's right to know that. I'm frustrated that I don't. You know, I'm coming from a sense of frustration, and yes, there's a sort of sense of entitlement that it's something that you're due, that you're that you should have this, you know, that other people have it and that you should have it. There's certainly a a certain amount of feeling, you know, less adequate in terms of, you know, other people know what their passion is and you don't. What's wrong with you? I mean, there's certainly an aspect of that to it.
Do you think that all this, what you're just sharing with me, could be what's getting in the way and preventing you, maybe kind of that dirt that's, you know, not letting you really find the passion? Because, I mean, you know, what are you gaining by, you know, viewing it in this certain way, looking at it as, you know, a sense of entitlement or feeling less adequate, or in your words, you know, what's wrong with you? Well, John, you know, what do you gain by thinking that?
I don't think it's a question of gaining anything by thinking that, except to acknowledge that, you know, it's something I want to do something about. You know, I mean, if I didn't feel as though I needed to know my passion, then I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. You know, I probably would be, you know, happy just continuing to try to utilize whatever skills I've built up over the years with whatever opportunities present themselves in front of me. And I just feel as though there's, at this point, that there's more to it than that.
Yes.
And I want there to be more to it than that.
And I agree.
And so, you know, I think the sense of entitlement, that the fact other people know what their passion is and sort of, to a certain extent, feeling left out, you know, that's what's driving me to look. I'm not so sure it's getting in the way. I mean, it might be getting in the way, you know, because, you know, who knows how I'm letting that affect my thought process, but, you know, I don't think I'd be looking without feeling that way.
Really? You think so? Or do you think maybe, are you open to maybe another perspective around this?
I'm always open to other perspectives. That's one of the things that I like about talking to other people, is you always get other perspectives on an issue. So.
Sure. Yeah. And thanks for being a good sport around this. Because here's the thing. You know, you can't put the carriage before the horse. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, you can, but you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're not going to go. Exactly. And I'm using this analogy because it's similar to you finding your passion. You're not going to get anywhere if you keep holding on to this story of feeling like you're left out, or, you know, like there's a sense of entitlement, or, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, this inner dialogue, this inner conversation here, I see it as GC, and I'd like for you to also just kind of explore with me again with a new perspective. Can you see that maybe perhaps this way of thinking is really not allowing that space to be there for you to find what that passion is? You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like putting the muck, you know, in front of the, like a muddy windshield. Like you're looking through a muddy windshield. This muck here, this way of thinking, is not allowing you to see clearly. Now, if you are open, and you said you are, so I got your affirmation on that, would you be willing to explore with me and see if maybe, if this is maybe what's getting in the way, are you willing to let go and set aside this story and replace it with something new, and perhaps maybe see if that new story might uncover what your passion is.
I'm willing to try anything at this point, because obviously what I've been doing hasn't been working. So,
thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's go with this. Let's just see what happens.
Okay.
You're exactly
right. I like your analogy, though. I haven't really thought about it that way, in terms of that I'm clouding my own vision with this, and I'm not allowing myself to, you know, the time and the space to think about what I want, you know, what I want to think about, because I'm too busy thinking about the other things.
Thanks for acknowledging that. So can you do a little writing exercise for me?
Sure.
Ready? What I'd like for you to do is first, we're gonna come together with some exercises here, because, you know, again, you've been trying something for so long and it hasn't been working. Let's do something different and see what kind of results and outcome you get. So number one is to first notice, you know, just think about this right here and recognize, and I'd like for you to journal a little bit about your perspective, you know, of feeling left out and, you know, feeling a sense of entitlement and, you know, thinking what's wrong or feeling less adequate and stuff. I'd like for you to just journal about what, how this is the case for you, and how is this serving you, you know, and just kind of like a diary, you know, you just kind of just blurt it all out and you just openly share, because I think that if you were to write this stuff down, it'll help you to look back, you know, it's going to reflect back to your eyes, and when you read it, you see it, it's different than what you speak, right? So you're kind of talking outward, but this will help you to bring it back in, to really shine a light, and maybe you might gain a new perspective by doing this. So just journal about it. Journal about how you feel about, you know, other people finding their passion and you don't. And, you know, another thing that I'd like for you to explore is, if you were to let go of this story, what would be a new story that you would like to put in its place that would empower you to find the resources to you know, find the answers and the solution, as you like, you know, to solve the problem, because this is really... Just treat it like you're solving a problem. Okay, well, how can I dissect this and look at it differently, and in order for me to solve this problem?
Okay.
So can you just give me an idea of, maybe you might not have something right now, and that's totally okay, but can you kind of, to share with me, if you were to replace the story, what would you imagine the new story be that would empower you to find what you're looking for in regards to your passion?
What comes to mind is, you know, a story that is more along the lines of that the answer, that the solution is out there, that you know, that it's not a question of it's not a question of missing out and not having something. It's more a question of just as you know, using the puzzle analogy, solving the puzzle to figure out what it is. And I think that to be honest, Mina, I think I've already started to change that perspective anyway. Because I'm thinking about what you're saying and asking me to think about it differently. And I do recognize that when people talked about their passion, that I did feel left out, and I did feel as though, I should have it too. But that is and has been morphing into this more kind of, all right, so, first of it was like, okay, so what is it? And now it's more of a, how do I figure out what it is, and what do I need to do to figure out what it is? So I think I think my conversation with myself is moving towards that, letting go of the entitlement and the feeling left out, and saying, okay, what are the tools? What are the thought patterns? What are the things that I need to do to use your words, to sort of clear that space so that I can think more clearly about these things? And obviously, this, our sessions is part of that. It's part of the new story. It's not part of the old story. Talking about the old story a little bit from the point of view of understanding what's been stopping me getting where I'm going. But I don't disagree with you at all in terms of letting go of those things and saying, okay, this is a different story. Is the new story the right story at this point? I don't know. I
We
think
don't know.
that may change as we talk. But certainly, my story right now about my passion is what do I need to do to change the way I think about things to be able to help identify that.
Yes, and thank you. We don't know, but I appreciate you and your openness to try on a new story, just like trying on a new outfit. You're just going to try it on to see if that fits and if maybe that might be the right one for you to help you through this process. And then also going to your question about how to find this out, well, the beauty in all this is that when you try on a new story, that story is going to be the model or the foundation that everything else is built upon, is going to be stemming from that new story. So you may magically, believe it or not, find the how-to. And the how-to will come to you as a result of that new story. So it's kind of like flipping it over. The one side is, you don't know how, but you've got this story that wasn't serving you, and feeling that entitlement or others having you don't didn't allow you to find the how, right? So when you
Right.
flip it and you change the story, then all of a sudden, the answers will come to you. Believe me when I say this, and I appreciate your openness to this, just explore and see what's possible by you changing your story around and what how beneficial that might be for you to find the how to. And I'm not gonna leave you hanging here. I'm gonna leave you with a couple of exercises that I'd like for you to start with. So number one is journal about the story, right? And then two,
Right.
write down what your new story is that you would like to create, to bring in, manifest into your reality. And I love your new story, what you just shared with me. You said the solution is out there. It's not a question of, missing out, but more like a puzzle to find the right pieces to put in. So can you see that if you come from that story of this story, that is it likely that you would find those puzzle pieces, the right pieces for you?
Well, I should be able to. After all, that's what I'm good at, right? I'm good at
Yes.
solving puzzles and solving problems.
Yes. Yes. Treat no different than how you treat with everything else, when you go to solve a problem, right? So another thing that I'd like for you to do is what I call conditions of satisfaction. You said to me, you shared with me some beautiful things, and I'd like for these to also be included in your list of conditions in which you would be satisfied in a career path that you choose. Whatever career path it is, you don't know, you know, you don't have to know what it is right now.
Right.
But you can know, what you can know is that what would be fulfilling and satisfying for you. So it can be any type of industry, but you know for certain that you like group interaction, right? And that's definitely one of your conditions that would satisfy you. And I invite you to list 10 of them. So this is just one of them.
Okay.
One of them was that group interaction. Please also include feeling of being able to make a difference. What I see you as is I see that you would be making a big difference. Huge difference, not just some little difference, but I think you would thrive in an environment where you are working on a project with a group of other people to come together on fulfilling a big mission. That's what I see it as. And then what was the other thing? Oh, like you like solving problems, solve like a puzzle. So those three things I'd like for you to include as part of your 10 conditions. So please come up with seven more. And they can, seven more can be what type of income you want, what kind of benefits you want, you know, who are the people that you work with, what kind of morals, what kind of values they have, what, you know, all of that, right? These stay really true to your principles, just like you shared with me earlier that there are some people you don't want to work with. So include that also in your list. What are the people that you do want to work with? Who are they? What type of characteristics do they have? So be real clear and specific. So when you're writing this list, be specific on what and be true to what you would be ultimately truly satisfied when you do find that right career option for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is used as a litmus test. So once you have this list of 10 conditions, then I'd like for you to compare them with those four career options that you gave me.
Okay.
And use it as a litmus test to compare it with those options to see if those fit within your list of conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at each one of those conditions individually, rating them like as a priority or not, kind of like, they're not in any specific order. It's not like number one is priority, two, and so on. They all are equal importance. However, some of the things on your list you will find that you can ask the question, is this a make or break deal? Like, if I don't have group interaction all the time, but I have it part of the time, is this a make or break deal? If I get all the other conditions on the list satisfied, you know, am I okay with this career option, right? You kind of use a gradient on each one of those 10 items to see, compare if it's a make or break deal, because some of them may have a higher importance, so you want to acknowledge that, you know, because you don't want to go into a career option and then realize that, oh my gosh, this is really much more important than I thought, right? So comparing your career options to this list of 10, I think will help you to narrow down your choices.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah. Got my homework.
You got your homework. I think this is great. We'll just leave it with where we are. This is good.
Okay.
Unless you want to add anything else to it.
No, I'm just looking at the list of things here and thinking, we talked about how quickly we should have that at the next session, and I think that I don't think anything there's anything on here that would stop me from saying, you know, let's have a session in a week or so, unless there was something about the journaling side of things that you felt it would be beneficial to have that be able to happen. Give me more time on that piece of it. I don't feel like I need it. I'm just, you know, just saying it would maybe open things up a little bit if I had 2 weeks. I think to a certain extent, one of the other things that I know about myself as a characteristic is that if I've got more time to do something, I will put off starting it until it's necessary. You know, so giving me more time isn't necessarily a good thing to do.
Can we discuss that, the scheduling offline? I'm going to turn off the recording.
Yeah.
We can schedule
okay.
that. Okay.
All right.
Before I end the recording, though, did you get value out of this session?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, you made me sort of put together some things that maybe I haven't put together in a certain way before, and you made me realize that I'm in the middle of this transition in my story about what my passion is, and that I do need to leave some of those other things behind. It's interesting to think about the little pieces that I enjoy that I never thought of as being, you know, you called them conditions. I never thought of them as being, you know, primary things. I always thought of them as being secondary things. You know, that you know, find something that you want to do, and then make sure that it has those aspects to it, rather than use those aspects as a litmus test. I think it was what you said, as a litmus test to compare the different options of what you could be doing. So,
perfect.
Interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. And let's have you work on it and see what outcomes you would be getting from it. So great job. So I'm going to turn off the recording.
Okay. And do you want to drop back to Skype rather than the conference line?